This morning's reading comes to us from a larger article, which I highly commend to you, that was printed in Quest, which is the newsletter of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, written by Tom Bilotti, called Covenantal, Not Creedal. I once attended a protest on the plaza, a busy pedestrian mall in Kansas City. The governor of Missouri had recently signed legislation that called for abstinence-only sex education in the Missouri schools. The legislation also restricted outside instructors and health classes to those with no connection in any way whatsoever to any health care system that offers abortion services. Meaning, of course, that someone who is trained and has expertise in teen health counseling, but who works for Planned Parenthood, would be barred from speaking to a health class at a public high school. So there I was, holding signs and talking with passerby and advocating for an approach to health education for young people that says that information and education rather than ignorance is good health policy. But that's not really the point. You see, at the protest, there were these two young women hanging out. They were amateurish reporters from a fundamentalist Christian magazine. Soon word got out that a minister was at the protest. That minister happened to be me. And the next thing you know, these two were making a beeline for me to interview this minister who supports sex ed. How, they wondered, is that possible? I introduced myself as a Unitarian Universalist minister, and they asked me how to spell that. And then they asked me to explain what UUs believe. I explained that we are a covenantal faith, not a creedal faith. We share a covenant of how we try to be together, not a creed of what we all must believe together. Then the questions really began. Well, does your church believe in the Bible? My response, that is a creedal question. We are a covenantal church. We share a covenant of how we try to be together, not what we are expected to believe together. Does your church believe in God? They asked. That is a creedal question. We are a covenantal church. We share a covenant of how we try to be together, not what we are expected to believe together. And this went on for a while. It took them a while to get it. They were being challenged to think in a new way. I think that sometimes in our churches, we stress the fact that we are not a creedal church a lot more than we stress that we are a covenantal church. We emphasize the creeds we are not asked to recite more than the covenants we are asked to share. We overemphasize the fact that we are not necessarily required to believe in God or believe a certain doctrine about the Bible or the afterlife, and we underemphasize the covenantal dimensions of our shared faith, preferring not to articulate the covenants of behavior we do share. So what does it mean to say that we're a covenantal faith anyway? A covenant is a set of enduring but evolving, deeply held promises made between people and with the source of life itself. And while the covenant is taken super seriously, the promises are often so intense that it is impossible to live up to them. So we will always need to admit to falling short. And when we inevitably do fall short, our proper response is to re-covenant, to recommit to those promises. What are the covenants we share together? In our churches, it's obvious that one of the promises we make is to be together in covenant in ways that respect each other's worth and dignity, ways that are safe. Being non-creedal, we can't expect to all believe the same things. But in covenant, we can respect each other, even and especially when we don't agree. We need not think alike to love alike. That's a covenantal statement. Our UU covenant is one of inclusion. We are all equally chosen people. So part of our covenant helps to make all feel welcome, regardless of age, gender, sexual orientation, or physical ability. And our covenant, I would submit, is not insular. It is not the property of those of us inside these walls. It reaches outward into the community. When those young women at the protest asked me, "Do you believe the way I believe?" they were really asking if it was possible for us to be in community together. To be in their community required holding the same beliefs. And I replied, "You have asked me a creedal question and posed a creedal test. Covenant is larger than creed. Covenant is larger than creed." Our covenants in this church, made by one another and with the Spirit of the source of life itself, are powerful. The promises we make have the power to change lives. The promises call upon us to live up to our best self, to summon forth our true, authentic, vulnerable, and passionate selves. Here ends the reading. I want to share a story with you that one of my colleagues, Victoria Safford, tells. In the first weeks of my first ministry in an old New England congregation, a woman came to see me. Nearly 90 years old, she was a lifelong member of that church. Her parents had joined in the late 19th century. "She didn't like change," she said. "She wasn't sure she liked me, or what she called my point of view. Just remember," she said, "I have outlived all of your predecessors, and I will probably outlive you." This woman was a dedicated political conservative in what had become a progressive community. She was a liberal Christian in a congregation that had known gracious eras of theological diversity and also some fits of intolerance. She'd worked for the U.S. State Department through three wars and for the American Unitarian Association through the merger of the Universalist Church with the Universalist Church of America. In this church of her childhood, which she'd never left, most votes are at most annual meetings had not gone her way for the past 40 years. Can you imagine? She was no stranger to discord. And in the end, she did outlive me there. She died shortly after I accepted a new call in another state, and I was saddened by the news. Over 10 years, we cultivated a fierce, respectful love for one another. And what I loved in her most was her commitment to that church, no matter what. Her fidelity to it, the ferocity with which she paid her pledge every year, no matter how wayward the budget or insufferable, in her humble opinion, the sermons. She kept her covenant with that people, with their proud history and the bright promise of their future, and with the free faith tradition they embodied. I was a young minister then, and her way of being in relation, her integrity taught me more about Unitarian Universalism than anything I learned in seminary. I think of her often on Sundays when we welcome our people each week, saying, "This is a congregation bound not by creed, but by covenant. We are bound by covenant, each to each and each to all, by what theologian Rebecca Parker calls freely chosen and life-sustaining interdependence." Freely chosen and life-sustaining interdependence. The central question for us is not what do we believe, but more what do we believe in? To what larger love, to what people, principles, values, and dreams shall we be committed? To whom, to what are we accountable? It's a powerful story. And I can imagine, actually I'm pretty sure there's some people just like this woman in this congregation. There certainly have been in some other congregations that I've served. people who know what it means to embody covenant. Covenants are the promises we make to one another about how we want to be together. To say we're a covenantal people means that we value our relationships with one another. In other words, the way we do things is just as important, if not more so, than what we choose to do together. How we treat each other, our respect for one another, our ability to listen, be flexible, to stay at the table, and continue to work together. Caring for one another is more important than the outcome of a particular vote or how the money gets spent. That's the bedrock of covenant. That's the bedrock of our integrity as a faith tradition. And it's based in our covenant with one another that we share. Being a covenantal people has deep roots, really deep roots, in our tradition. Our Puritan forebears knew that the welfare of one was dependent on the welfare of all. John Winthrop, heard of him? Soon to become the first governor of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. If you think about the word commonwealth, the common welfare of the people, speaking to his fellow Puritans aboard the Arabella as they set sail for New England, said this: "Now the only way to avoid shipwreck is to uphold the familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work, our community as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It's a covenant. And the broad swath of this communal ideal that's been passed on to us comes to us through our Unitarian Universalist principles. Our mutual commitment to these principles is grounded in our interdependence, our commonwealth, both within and beyond this congregation. Now, if you grab a gray hymnal, there's probably one close by, you'll find our principles and purposes, right, in one of the very first pages there. And you'll notice that our principles are written in the form of a covenant. Have you ever noticed that? "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote." Can you find that? It's right after the title page. You get extra points if you know all the principles by heart, but let's read through them together. I don't even think I know them all by heart. You got it? Keep going, Lynn says. "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience, and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, respect, interdependent web of all existence, of which we are apart. This covenant is the bedrock of our faith tradition. It's not a creed. It's actually been, it's evolved over time. The seventh principle was added in the 80s. And it's always, and there's actually an eighth principle on the table about our relationships with each other across difference, specifically as it applies to racism. So stay tuned. This is our covenant. It evolves as we learn more about who we are in community with one another. But these principles are really intense, right? It's like, how can you imagine actually living up to all of them as one human being in one human being body? What can you imagine it would be like? What would it look like, feel like in our daily lives if these things were all actualized? Well, Tom Bilotti says that living up to these covenants is not possible, and that's not really the point. We're always going to fall short. He suggests that the proper response is to re-covenant. These are intentions to get closer and closer, to renew our intentions, beginning again and again, to keep our highest ideals right in front of us. And so it's a good idea to read them every once in a while. Have them up on the wall like we do around here. Just to come back to them again and again. To remind ourselves that we are a covenantal people and this is our covenant. And some congregations do choose to recite the principles or something like our affirmation, which says a lot of similar things that we recite every week here. This congregation's affirmation begins with the word love, and it ends with the words, "This we do affirm and covenant with each other." But like the UU principles, this affirmation is filled with these big, lofty ideals, wonderful ideals. But what do they really mean? What does love really look like and feel like here? In this community, in our everyday lives together, when we greet each other on Sunday morning, when we join for committee meetings or come to activities or do all the planning that we do together, what does it mean to be in covenant with each other here? And I've come to believe that it's very important, that it's an important part of being a UU, to unpack some of these lofty ideals. Covenant's really big, but it's also, there's a macro and there's also this micro kind of covenant. To unpack these lofty ideals, to talk about what it means to love the people right here, the people sitting next to you in the pews right now. What does love require of us? If love was the biggest of a set of nesting dolls, for example, and we open that one up and we found another one inside, or a bunch inside, what would it be? Maybe trust? Maybe understanding? But then you gotta open those up. What the heck is inside trust? What's inside understanding? Well, trust requires honesty, for one thing. Understanding requires curiosity, the ability to listen, patience. How often do we actually talk to one another about what love really requires of us in community? We have to break it down a little bit. And so maybe these things too need to be lifted up as a part of our covenanting with one another. Gandhi said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." Well, what it means to be the change we want to see right here, right now, in this world, is really up to this community. But if that big nesting doll is love, and we begin to unpack it, we get some ideas about what that covenant really looks like. And I like to think of congregations as petri dishes. I've shared this with some of you. Places where we can experiment. Hopefully places where covenant's been lifted up to the point where we know that people are going to stand by us and we're going to stand by them if we make a mistake, for one thing, right? And so we can experiment with ways of being with each other, practicing how we want to be in the world. If we can't practice here, where can we practice? I hope you all have this feeling like that you're held in a way here that you can practice being the best human being you can be. And know that if you don't always get it quite right, that somebody's going to maybe have a conversation with you and love you, you know, love you anyway. That's part of love, right? Forgiveness, acknowledging mistakes. The work begins with us, here and now, in our relationship with one another. We can be the change we seek. If we can practice being respectful and engaged, kind and fair, we can change ourselves and one another. And slowly over time, that ripple effect can change the lives of those we touch outside this circle. The work begins with making our covenant with each other more explicit. More explicit. In his book on congregational polity, Conrad Wright writes, "A covenant might be implicit, expressed by silent consent as people walk together and show concern for one another. But an explicit covenant is far better. It for reminding the members of their mutual duty and stirring them up to it. There is something to be said for the word covenant. It emphasizes that the church is a community of mutual obligation which involves a sense of commitment. Even the freest of free churches needs that much discipline if it is to last long enough to accomplish anything of value in this world." And I'd have to add that covenants aren't rules. They're not absolutes. Covenants are mutually agreed upon promises that we make to one another. I think there's a big difference in thinking about, you know, you think, well, we all need to kind of know the rules of the game to play the game, right? Well, covenanting isn't quite like it's not like creating a set of rules. They are a set of parameters, a set of intentions, but hopefully they're much more flexible, pliable, breathable, because acceptance, understanding, forgiveness, all those things are not rule-oriented kinds of things, right? They're more or less human endeavor kinds of things, which aren't quite the same as rules. And so, in addition to our principles, affirmations, and covenants that state our highest ideals and aspirations, a lot of congregations are engaging in a process of creating covenants that make promises about how they want to be together more explicit. The term right relations or right relationship has been bantered about a lot in recent years among UUs. The term comes to us from the Quakers, actually. 18th century Quaker John Woolman, who spoke of living in right relationship with all creation. Well, what does that mean? Right relationship for him and for us, I believe, speaks to us of wholeness, of making room for all. Our mutuality, our interdependence, our need for one another. A covenant of right relationship makes explicit the conditions and commitments we want to make to each other, to be a congregation that makes room for everyone. Right here, right now, how can we be the change we want to see in this congregation? Now, some of you probably know that our children are very good at doing this. Children who have participated in Unitarian Universalist religious education, religious exploration programs, do this covenanting process every time a new class gets together, usually in the fall. Each class develops a covenant an adult usually ask them what they think promises they can make to each other to make the class the kind of place that they all want it to be together, to affirm each person. And so the kids will come up with their list of intentions and write them on a big piece of paper, and then all the kids sign it. And it sits on the wall during the whole year that they're in their circle time or their classes together. So, after we enjoy our lunch together, we're going to create a covenant based on who we are in congregation. And at least this will be the beginning of a process of covenanting with one another. I have several examples, but I'm gonna save those. You'll have to get those after lunch. And I guess that's where I'm gonna leave it for now. I hope that you are excited about this process, the idea of doing this, and I have done it with every congregation that I have served. And I really do think it's a next step for Unitarian Universalist congregations in really walking our talk and starting in the smallest of small circles and rippling our way out to being the kind of people that we want to be in the world. May it be so.